It's 2025, and it's time you embrace the future of toilet cleaning with the Clorox Toilet Wand. The Clorox Toilet Wand is an all-in-one toilet cleaning system that comes complete with a sleek bathroom caddy and disposable scrubbing pads preloaded with cleaning solution. The set even comes with 6 scrubbing pads preloaded with disinfecting toilet cleaner. Just click, swish, and toss for a fuss-free clean. Visit Amazon to purchase your Clorox Toilet Wand today.
The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
So it's time for our weekly American spot. Marion McKeown is away, so Larry Donnelly has stepped in on her behalf. Carl Thomas is with us as well. Carl, when Pope John Paul II died in 2005, then American President George W. Bush attended, as did former Presidents Bill Clinton and George H.W. Bush and various other US dignitaries. It looks like Donald Trump will be there this weekend with his wife this Saturday. How appropriate is that when you consider that Pope Francis had made it quite clear that many of Trump's decisions and innovations were totally against his way of thinking?
Well, Matt, I think that at times like this, people should put those kinds of things aside. The man was a respected leader among the more than 1 billion Roman Catholics in the world, and by a lot of non-Catholics as well, who happened to be in line with the Pope's views on immigration and other social and cultural issues. So I think it's perfectly appropriate. I feel relatively certain, I would hope, that former President Biden, the second U.S. Catholic president, would be going as well. He has had met with Pope Francis on several occasions. So I think at a time like this, we put differences aside. I mean, you know, Protestants and Jews and Muslims would have differences of opinion. Republicans would have differences of opinion with this Pope. But at moments like this, I think it shows respect and deference to someone who served his church well.
Do you think if Trump did go that he would show respect and deference?
Well, the big question I have is he going to make this about himself, or is he going to keep his mouth shut? I think that would be an amazing thing to see. I hope he does. I think he should show respect, he and his wife, and not to make it about himself.
Larry, the Vice President, J.D. Vance, is a relatively recent convert to Catholicism. I think it was in 2019 that he became a Catholic. He's also a recent convert to Trumpism, given that he was one of the most vocal critics of Donald Trump previously. He had a brief audience with Pope Francis not long before Pope Francis died. Do you see the Catholic movement in the United States, led by Vance, trying to attach itself to the Vatican?
It's a difficult question to answer, Matt. I mean, I think that, look, the Catholic Church is a broad and diverse church. I think that there's no doubt that in the United States, within the clergy in particular, there has been a move to the right, and strongly to the right. And indeed, a lot of Catholic clergy would have come to embrace Donald Trump and J.D. Vance. But I think the important thing to note is that, as ever, and I speak from within, I speak as a Catholic, that our church is not amenable and our faith is not amenable to easy ideological classification in 2025. And we saw that above all with Pope Francis. So while on the one hand, you know, a lot of people on the right were angered with him for what they saw as his concessions or his weakness on things like climate change, or perhaps on the rights of migrants and stressing that and never being afraid to put that up to people, no matter how powerful they were. A lot of people on the left were let down by Pope Francis, by what they saw as, for instance, his statements on, you know, the role of women in the church. And in particular, I think, for his unbending and unwavering dedication to the rights of the unborn human child. So, again, the Catholic Church goes beyond and transcends ideology as we know it. And the attempts of politicians, whether on the right or on the left, to attach themselves, whether it's to Pope Francis or to other figures, will always fall short, because the Catholic Church, at least in my view, stands for transcendent things, things that go well beyond what we define as right and left in 2025.
But yet, Larry, he would have been very strong, for example, in relation to how he felt that man was destroying the planet, being responsible for climate change, which is completely at odds with the position taken by the likes of Vance, Trump and others in the ascendancy in the United States at present.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And I think that's to his great credit. I mean, look, if you look at Catholic teaching, if you look even beyond that to Christian theology in terms of the end of days and how things are going to happen, they don't anticipate that it will be something that man or humankind has made that will bring about the end of days. I think that Pope Francis, in a way, really put up a powerful narrative and was very mindful on that front against what might be the theology of others, whether in the United States or abroad. So I think, yeah, he was very strong on that. But on other issues, you know, look, again, we see people on the left continuing to have issues with that. So Francis really was, in my view, an extraordinary human being, an extraordinary pope. And the only thing I'll say is that whoever fills his shoes, and will have no doubt, no shortage of Vatican politics in the next few weeks, whoever fills his shoes will have a real job on their hands, because I think that the outpouring that we've seen from across the world about Francis is down to the fact that he was not just a pope, he was an ordinary individual. And his ordinariness, to me, is what made him so extraordinary.
But yeah, Cal, he was somebody who was very strong in his support of immigrants. He did give out about Trump's agenda of mass deportation, saying it violated the dignity of many men and women and of entire families. He said any person who thinks only about building walls, wherever they may be, and not building bridges is not Christian, he said.
Well, I noticed he didn't take the wall around the Vatican down and didn't take in any of these migrants. Look, this
did actually take migrants in, actually, from Syria. He did.
A token number. That's right. A token number. That's correct. Look, he was basically asking that the United States ignore laws passed by Democrat and Republican members of Congress and signed by Democrat and Republican presidents of the United States. You can't maintain a country unless you have borders. You can't maintain a country if you ignore criminality. The focus of the Trump administration has been on deporting people who are violent criminals. And the polls show that an overwhelming number of Americans believe in that policy. It's one of the major policies that got him elected last November. So it's fine for the late Pope to talk about these kinds of things, but was he suggesting that American laws should be ignored, that anybody should be let into the country who wants to come, that they should be provided public benefits and public schools and free hospitalization? We can't sustain that with a $36 trillion debt, and we won't be able to sustain ourselves beyond our 250th anniversary next year unless those laws are enforced.
I don't think he ever did suggest open borders. I think what he looked for was compassionate care for migrants. And you also mentioned there about, you know, violent criminals being deported, but many of the people being deported are not violent criminals. In fact, there's even been deportations, people swept up who were American citizens, and it seems as if nobody cares about them as long as it could be seen that others are being deported.
Well, Matt, I'm all for due process. I wrote a column about this a couple of weeks ago. This Garcia guy, who is the Democrats are visiting in El Salvador, was given due process before two immigration judges, and he has been accused of sex trafficking, stopped with eight people in the car, all of whom gave the same address on their way to Maryland from the state of Texas. He has these tattoos, which some have suggested are symbols of the MS-13 gang. He has said that he was afraid to go back to El Salvador because, quote, rival gangs might kill him. Well, how can you have a rival gang if you're not a gang member? The polls show, Matt, that the people are for this. They want control of the border. They're tired of the crime. They're tired of the illegal immigrants. And, you know, when you say, well, they haven't broken any laws, a lot of them, well, they broke the law to get here. And if the immigration laws don't mean anything, then they should be repealed by Congress.
Larry, as a lawyer, what do you make of conviction by tattoo, that you can have it alleged that a tattoo means you're guilty of something?
Yeah, well, I think the first point to make that's a really important one is that I don't think Pope Francis ever said that we should disregard the laws of the United States or anywhere else. I think what he said was that we should treat people with a common humanity, which is at the heart of what we believe as Catholics and as Christians. And he would have been remiss not to do so. In terms of this individual who, again, I don't think he's any saint. I don't think he's a choir boy. But when we look at the things that he has been effectively hung, drawn, and quartered by elements of the right-wing media in the United States for, they are very, very dubious. We're hearing stories that some of the arrests were made by people who have been dismissed from police forces, that his wife, there was a domestic violence claim, that she has pulled back dramatically on that. But what I would say to you, Matt, is that all of that is wholly immaterial, because the fact is that a judge ultimately did put a stay, whatever we can think about the merits or we can retry the facts. The fact is that a judge put a stay on his deportation, and that has been disregarded. And at the end of the day, do we believe in the rule of law or do we not? And if we traverse a road that somebody, because we mightn't like him, because he mightn't be a good person, I wouldn't praise this person. I don't like this whole idea of Marilyn Mann and all this kind of thing. I don't go along with that. But at the end of the day, that's wholly immaterial. A judge put a stay on the deportation. The fact is the Trump administration admitted that they made a mistake, and yet we are allowing this person to languish in a prison in El Salvador. And that is reprehensible at any level for anyone who believes in the rule of law. And the last thing I'd say is this is perhaps what disturbs me most. And I would give in to Cal on this one. I would agree with him in terms of what the polls say. The polls do say that there is little sympathy for this individual within the United States. The polls do say that they're wondering why the Democrats seem to be going to the wall for this individual. But these are the facts, and this is the political context in which Democrats are operating. And one of the things that's often overlooked on this side of the Atlantic is that they are Trump might be falling, but Democrats are not presenting a palatable alternative.
Yeah, that's something I think we'll get back to on another date. I've just been given this information. On the 15th of April, the White House Press Secretary, Caroline Leavitt, also accused Mr. Abrego Garcia of involvement in human trafficking. She appeared to be referencing a report in the Tennessee Star, a conservative news website, which claimed Abrego Garcia was detained by a Tennessee Highway Patrol officer on suspicion of human trafficking in December 2022. A report by the Department of Homeland Security said he was stopped for speeding and not staying in his lane. There were eight other people in the car without luggage, the report said, which led the officer to suspect it could be a case of human trafficking. However, no criminal case was lodged against Abrego Garcia. And the quote is, at the time, Kilmer worked in construction and sometimes transported groups of workers between job sites, so it's entirely plausible he would have been pulled over while driving with others in the vehicle. Another listener says, been illegal as a misdemeanor. It doesn't deserve locking up in a gulag. And Larry, what has happened in America that there are so many people in America who are either the children or the grandchildren of people who are immigrants, many of whom were not legally, who did not legally enter the United States, that they have so little sympathy for those who would want to follow them?
It's very sad, Matt. There's no question about it. And the stories abound. The stories abound of U.S. citizens, of U.S. citizens whose spouses are green card holders. All you have to do is look across local news coverage around the United States, and you hear horrendous stories of people being stopped at borders, people being detained, all sorts of attacks on what we would have regarded as fundamental civil liberties and fundamental civil rights. And it's really, really disturbing to me that many, many Americans seem prepared to look the other way. And again, all of this being carried out in a very chilling climate, a very chilling atmosphere. And all I can say as somebody who just returned to the United States is it makes me profoundly sad. What happened to the land of the free, the home of the brave, all the things we used to believe, they seem to be suspended in midair in what to me is an extremist and in somewhat misguided quest to rid the country of undocumented immigrants. And of course, we can have a discussion that, of course, There are lots of problems with the southern border, et cetera. But things have gone completely haywire in the United States. It's very, very sad to see.
And if it isn't the immigrants, it's the intellectuals, Cal. What do you make of the assault on the so-called Ivy League institutions, those universities that may be for the elite, but also have produced an enormous amount of benefit to the United States over the last century?
Well, Harvard is now suing the Trump administration for freezing more than $1 billion in grants. There is no right to American taxpayer money. These universities, especially the elites, Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Dartmouth, get tax-free money from the government. Many of them, especially Harvard, have endowments. Harvard has one of over $53 billion U.S. dollars, and yet they want more. And of course, when the Trump administration, in my view, correctly says, look, you need to clean up your act when it comes to anti-Semitism, the threats to Jewish students who fear for their lives and safety and are unable to attend some classes, if you're going to get taxpayer money. And now the president of Harvard says he's going to fight that and suing in court. I think a lot of these American universities are teaching wokeism, progressivism, anti-Semitism, some of them from professors and encouraged by fellow students and social media. And if a university is doing that, I think that's one more reason why they shouldn't be getting American taxpayer money.
That's the real reason, Cal. It's nothing to do about American taxpayer money. Is that this is an attempt to suppress freedom of thought, freedom of speech, freedom of expression. This is an attempt to put down ideas with which the administration does not agree. What do you think, Larry Donnelly?
I think it's very chilling at every respect. The one thing I will say is that I do think that some of these institutions that have billions and billions in their endowments, the fact that these are all tax-free, I find that very, very hard to accept. I find it very hard to accept that they're not paying anything in terms of taxation. And again, these would be institutions, and Cal is right, left-wing ideology is prevalent at these institutions. There's no question about that. But I find it very hard to say that they should not make any contribution more broadly to the state and federal coffers at that level. What I will say is that politically speaking, again, sometimes I feel like the discussions we have about these issues when it comes to Trump are sort of weak in the sense they don't take account of political reality. And the political reality is that the majority of the American people, and I would bet anything on this, would see attacks, criticism of what they see happening on campuses and colleges throughout the United States as something that they would welcome. And if I were Democrats, I'd be waging a war of a different kind on colleges and universities. And the war would be along these lines. It would be, we are going to do everything to cut college tuition, to confront the biggest issue that American people face on a daily basis, one that never gets coverage in the media, one that features very little, but the biggest issue around the kitchen table for every American family is, how are we going to afford to send our kids to college? And if Democrats were wise, that would be the front that they would be waging war against colleges and universities across the United States on, saying we need to cut the cost of education in the United States. That's a political winner. A lot of this other stuff, from their point of view, isn't a political winner.
And Cal, listener Frida and Scurries wants me to ask you, if anti-Semitism is something that Trump is so against, why is it that he failed to contact Governor Shapiro of Pennsylvania about being attacked in his home on Passover and setting his house on fire using Molotov cocktails? Could it be that his anti-Semitism does not extend to wanting to get in contact with a Democrat victim of anti-Semitism?
Yeah, I think that's a legitimate criticism. I absolutely do. And the same thing when Nancy Pelosi's husband was attacked by somebody invading their home out there. And I think your compassion has to be extended over several levels and not just limited to universities, for example. I think Josh Shapiro has been a good governor for Pennsylvania. If you're a Democrat, you like him. A lot of people thought that he should have been Kamala Harris's running mate, and she might have done better in the election if he had been. But I think that's a legitimate criticism from the listener.
Okay, and actually, I want to stay with you, Cal, for the moment. Can Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth survive, given that we now discover there's been a second Signal group chat about the strikes in Yemen, this one with family members, where he was giving them classified information?
Well, as you know, Matt, I was against his nomination. At the start, I thought he was inexperienced. He had never run any organization, much less the biggest agency in the U.S. federal government, the Pentagon, the Department of Defense. And I think his personal behavior, from his relationships with women, his problem with drinking, and a lot of other things did not qualify him for this extremely important position. Now, the president remains behind him, and he is the only one that matters when it comes to whether he keeps his job or not. But I think if these disclosures continue, as you just mentioned, with that other revelation about giving classified information even to his wife, for heaven's sakes, then I don't think he's going to last that much longer.
Larry, you might be able to answer this. Listeners want to know, are there any right-wing colleges or universities in the United States?
There are some. Yeah, there are some. There's no question about that. Who do a lot of them do receive federal funding and all that. But they are distinctly in the minority. And when you look at the elite colleges and universities in the United States, even those of the Catholic affiliation and the Jesuit affiliation, one of which I'm a graduate of, they would tend left. I mean, that's the reality of higher education, not just in the United States, but also around the world, I would say.
I wonder, is there an opportunity for Trump University to be resuscitated at this stage? Very last thing, though, Larry, I want to go to you in this, because I know you're just recently back from the United States. If at the moment it seems that there's a degree of indifference to what Trump is getting up to, how long will that last if it starts showing itself in prices rising for day-to-day goods and jobs been lost because of his tariff policy?
When and if that hits, Matt, and when and if, as has happened, people's stock portfolios and 401ks continue to decline, that's when it will hit. And it will hit very, very hard. And that's what Republicans behind the scenes know to be true. They're hearing it already. And if Trump is unwilling to pull back in the face of all of that, then not only he will take a huge hit, but the Republican Party will take a huge hit with midterms coming up around the corner.
Thank you very much, Larry Donnelly. Cal Thomas.
The last word.
With Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
And that's a commercial break.
Nice.
Ooh, hear that? My neck cracked. So satisfying.
Speaking of satisfying, I just used a Clorox toilet wand.
Ooh, with the cleaner already in it.
Yes. All in one. The brush just clicks on.
Click.
Then you swish, swish, swish. Ch-ch.
Ah.
And pops right off into the trash.
Just click.
Swish.
Bop.
Clorox. Clean feels good.
Clean feels good.
Oh, we're back.
Use as directed.